Christina was terrified, scared out of her wits. Her friend Marlene had invited her to church. She worked with Marlene. Marlene had invited her 4 or 5 times, and she thought, for some reason, she actually said yes this time. And so she's getting out of the car, and she's walking towards the door. And all she can remember is the first time she'd ever been in church. She was 8 years old, and she'd shown up at a friend's Catholic wedding, and sitting in church, and up in front there was this kind of priest guy dressed in funny clothes, and he said things that she didn't understand and would wave his arms around, and on occasion people would speak and then they wouldn't, and she didn't know what they were saying. It didn't kind of make sense, and she thought, this is weird. Her second encounter with church was when a friend invited her to go to a youth rally, and she was 14 years old. I showed up in the high school gymnasium, and there was some preacher was behind a guy in a suit, was behind a pulpit. And she watched as he was preaching, because throughout the day, as the guy was preaching, the veins on his neck would start to pop out, and he got madder and madder. And his voice got louder and louder and louder, and he would start talking about Jesus. And she's going, this is very strange, but kind of entertaining. And his veins are popping out of his head, and he's swinging his Bible all around. And then he starts talking about how rock and roll music is the instrument of Satan. It's taking the minds of our young people. And she looked down and realized she was wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt that her friend had given her for her birthday. And she's looking down, and the man swinging the Bible with the veins popping out of his head pointed to her and said, young women like this. And she thought, this is BS. There is no way I am going back to this. That's why she was terrified. 20 years had passed. Numerous invitations. And as she's stepping back into a church, so are they gonna witch hunt? Are they out to point out the worst sinners in the valley? Are they gonna do weird things? Are they gonna be dressed in funny robes and saying things I don't understand and swinging incense around their head? She was terrified. So she steps through the door, and much to her surprise, the place looks remarkably normal. People they're friendly, they greet her, they don't, you know, jump all over or anything. Hey, this is okay. She sits down in the service, and she listens, and okay. You know, pastor kind of makes sense, I guess. Not looking too weird. Seems to care. Stranger yet, the people in the church seem to care. And so a couple weeks later, she comes back. This time as she's sitting amazingly enough, they talk about God a lot in church, and she feels it's almost like an ice cube starts to melt in her. It's like, this is an odd thing, and she finds herself crying, and she doesn't quite understand why. But nobody gets on her about it. Nobody bugs her. She keeps coming back. And she finds that it's been like there's been a God-shaped hole in her heart for so long. And finally it's filling. Finally it's warming. Finally something is happening on the inside. She thinks, this is great. She gets to meet some other people in the church, and they're nice. They care about her. And she ends up going to a small group. And the people are friendly. They love her. And she starts to grow as a Christian. She discovers that she's got, pastors keep talking about how their gifts and talents can be used for the Lord, and she decides to get involved with the ministry team, and she's always loved baking, and so she would every couple of weeks, if there was a shut-in or there was somebody that was sick or maybe had a new baby, she would help, and she would bake a dinner and she'd take it to their house, and they'd love it, and she loved it too. It was great. It was cool. It's like the pieces of the puzzle in her life started to come together, and she went, wow, I like this. And so over the next couple of years, she got more involved in the church. Her small group, her life group, kind of became her closest circle of friends. She hung out with them a lot. They did things together. They loved each other. It was fun. She found that over time, she spent less time with some of her old friends. Because her new friends were so fun, they loved her so much. She became a member. She got involved in the decision-making of the church. The church kind of became the center of her social life. And she was happy. And she was comfortable. And that's probably why she didn't notice Tim when he came to church. Tim came through the door and, well, if she could have seen inside his mind, she would realize how much he was feeling all the same things that she did 3 years ago. But all Christina saw was, there's this guy and he's sitting up in the chair that I like to sit in. That's where I sit with my friends. I mean, we get together and I'm there, and there's Mary and there's Joanne and Katie. We want to sit together. And he's in my spot. And if I have to sit in the back, I can't see as well. So she thought, I don't know if I want anyone to go talk to him because, if the girl talking to a guy, and what would he think? And I'm a single mom. So she decides not to say anything at all. Instead, with her group, they just kind of stand at the back and glare. And terrified Tim looks around. He gets the message. And he says, in a simple little prayer, God, I gave you one last chance. And I'm out of here. How is it that something so good can sometimes get turned so funny? Today I want to talk about that a little bit, about the danger of getting comfortable, and talk about it a little bit from the perspective of, just to challenge you individually and personally, but also to look at it from the perspective of a church. The passage that you just heard read was from the book of Colossians, and a professor of mine once said, we need to remember that the Bible was written for you, but it was not written to you. In fact, we're reading somebody else's letter. Paul is writing to a church in Colossae, church probably about this size, that's springing up in a place that's kind of difficult to be a church, the first church in that area, and they're doing great. They're doing wonderful. And he tells them to keep growing, to keep bearing fruit, to press on. Did you see some of the words? Because there is a danger in getting too comfortable. Because even a good thing can get stale. And so we, as a church, we're at kind of a crossroads. We're a church plant, just over a year old. And though, our numbers are down a little bit from normal, we're normally a church around somewhere around 100, and we have done, by God's grace, we have done the impossible. Eight, 9 months ago, the question is, well, that's a wonderful little church. I wonder if they'll make it. Now here we are, a group of 100 plus people, membership of 40. We pay our own bills. This is a miracle, people. Most churches don't make it this far. We have, by God's grace, we are here. We are a church. I'm excited about this, I'm sorry. Because you just think, this bird might not have flown, but it's flying. We're doing it. We're a church. This is awesome. Okay, sorry. Yeah! All right. And yet we are also at a crossroads. Because we can end up where the danger is we can get comfortable right here. We know each other. We love each other. You've probably seen that through the service. But whether we're going to be able to really invest in ministry and whether we're going to honestly be able to welcome new people. I want to talk about two dangers of getting comfortable. Danger number one is that the danger is that spectators stay spectators. We want to be a church where people can just, they can come and just check it out. They can just watch and not have to touch anything. Because church is a freaky, freaky place. Or at least it is from the perception, because a lot of people are walking around with wounded perceptions of what church is like and what God is like. Convinced that there's some giant up there in heaven looking down to try to figure out all the bad stuff they've done. And pow, you know? Because they've seen that in churches. They've seen that in Christians. Like we're on some sort of a sin eradication thing. Convinced in finding the wrong instead of finding the right. In trying to straighten people up instead of trying to love people. So they're terrified. Some of you are probably terrified today. We're going to try to be nice to you. Really are. It's okay to be a spectator. It's okay to check it out. We're not going to jump on you. I promise you, we're not going to jump on you. But the question is sometimes being a spectator can feel really good. Man, I can just be here. I can watch the whole thing. With this pastor, he's a little funnier than the guy down the street. And so, this is cool. But if we stay there, and if you stay there, you're never going to experience the fullness of what God would want for you. Spectators cannot stay spectators. If you need to be a spectator, spectate. But we need you to invest in ministry here. What are we looking for in this church? We're looking for five things. What do we want? Regular and meaningful worship. That worship is a part of your life, individually and corporately. Regular and meaningful connections, that you find people around you to care about and to love. Lone Ranger Christianity doesn't fly very far. So we're looking to try to get you connected with other people. We're looking to find ways for you to grow spiritually, to get into the Word of God, to be challenged, to think new thoughts, to try new things, to find an area of service, to see, God, how have you wired me up with gifts and talents and interests and passions, and how can I use that in a way that makes a difference in this world? We're trying to direct you towards service, and we're trying to direct you towards commitment. That somehow you get involved in the decision making of the church. That your finances reflect your values. That you say, I want to be generous and I want to be disciplined about my generosity. We're a church that gives away about 20% of our income to ministries outside of our church, into starting new churches, into helping things around the world, into organizations like Serve Wenatchee Valley, into giving away shoes to kids that need them. And so we need you to invest in ministry here. That's the first danger. We just think, oh, this is great. I'll just sit back and watch it. I hope it's a good show. There is no they. There is only we. Oh, I hope they make good decisions. No, I hope we make good decisions. There's no they. It's we. You're part of this. Or at least you should be. But comfort danger number two is this, that the committed forget the mission. Church can be so good that it's intoxicating. If you plug into a life group here, you will discover relationships on a level that you've never known them. You think you've seen them, but you haven't yet. You might not. Those of you that are in a life group, you know what I'm talking about. When it's actually possible to be in a place where people care about you and love you and are going to stick with you through thick and thin, where you can dump your stuff, you can dump your garbage, and they are going to continue to accept you. When you get into a place like that, it's going to change you. It's a good thing. You're going to want to stick around. But the other danger with that is that we might start to seal off from the rest of the world. Oh, I've got my little clique. It feels so good. And remember that we're not here because we're trying to get you to feel good. We're here because God has a purpose for your life, and we want you to live it. God wants to use you to make a difference in this world, and we want to challenge you to do that. That's why we're here. I hope you plug in. I hope you get committed. I hope you connect. I hope you serve. It is the most exhilarating and wonderful thing you can do in life. But don't forget why we are here, why we are committed, why we are serving. It's because there are terrified Tims out there that think that God is trying to get them, and all he's trying to do is get their attention and love them and bring them into his kingdom. There are people like Christina out there, and God is calling us to reach them. Next week, we have our first annual meeting as a church. Many of you are members, and I hope you plan on being here. We're going to have a potluck dinner. Hope you plan on eating. We like to eat. Or even if you're just here and you're checking it out, to just come and sit through the meeting and see how we make decisions and the things that we're passionate about. And I hope you make a commitment to be less of a spectator and more of a participant, to join the we and to acknowledge that you are part of the we. You are part of us. But I hope that you will pray just as sincerely that we would not forget why we are here. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the miracle in which we live, that Columbia Grove has beaten the odds. That we exist as a church, that you have seen in your goodness to draw us together. That you've seen in your goodness to allow us to thrive and to grow. Lord, would you keep our eyes and our hearts tuned to the mission and to the purpose, that we might love passionately, that we might connect, that we might serve, and oh God, that we might make a difference. Help us to be people of love and grace, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.